Hey, if you're looking for a great holiday gift for the Boston Celtics fan in your life, try my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas. I went all the way back to the beginning of Boston Celtics history and picked two players at each position, plus two wild cards and two coaches, to put together an all-star team of all Boston Celtics greats. It was a very difficult process. I left some very important people off, but in the end, I think I've put together an amazing all-star team from Boston Celtics history. So go to wherever you can buy books, online or in stores, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas, is now available. So go ahead and get a copy for the Boston Celtics fan in your life. All the big things you missed this weekend, plus four things I'm looking for in the first preseason game, and I'll pull back the curtain, let you see what it's like being a beat reporter right now on this Monday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance, back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, I'm John Corrales, host of the Locked On Celtics podcast. I cover the Boston Celtics and host this show every Monday through Friday. So if you're a new listener, welcome aboard. I hope you are enjoying this podcast. If this is your very first show, I hope you do enjoy the podcast. There's a lot to like, I think. In segment one, I'm going to go through some of the things you missed this weekend. The Celtics had media availabilities on Saturday and Sunday. You might have been out and about, you know, enjoying your life, as you should have. And so I'm working. I'm here to bring you some of the big storylines from the weekend. Segment two, tomorrow is the first preseason game. Celtics are in Philly. They are off on Monday. So I'm going to give you some of the things that I'm looking for, four things that I'm looking for in the preseason game. And then I had an interesting exchange on Twitter, and I thought it would be good to kind of let you look inside what it's like being a beat reporter right now, because it's so different. And it impacts what you see, what you hear. So I'm going to let you in on all of that. And this is all brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get 20% off your next order. So the things that we learned over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. First thing, I guess, is Kemba Walker's back on the floor doing some light shooting. We know that Kemba's progressing through this whole thing. I don't know how long it's going to take still. We're going to get an update, a real update on his game status in January, but this is the beginning of him being like on the floor, able to get some shots up. That's an important step, because if you can't get the shots up, then you start to get a little bit rusty. And at least he can get some of these shots up and work on just keeping his form precise, nice and tight. So nothing big with Kemba, but there is a little update. Slow progress, but it's progress. Tristan Thompson also still out. And as Brad Stevens put it, it doesn't look like he's going to be available for the home opener or the season opener on the 23rd. Why not? Because not only has he had this hamstring thing, which is not serious, but it's a hamstring thing, and those things tend to kind of linger. He has that, and so they're making sure that that is cleared up. He's out there shooting, doing light work as well, a little bit more than Kemba is, but he hasn't had the time to work with his teammates to get out there and get some of that timing down. That's going to take some time. Also, and this was something that Brad Stevens brought up, and it's something that we don't probably think about here, because The Celtics just had a deep playoff run. We watched the bubble, but there were a bunch of teams that didn't even make the bubble. And the Cavaliers, by virtue of being the worst team in basketball last year, were one of them. So Tristan Thompson hasn't played any meaningful basketball, any actual basketball, since March. That's a long time. So he's going to need some time to just get back up to speed. So as these days tick away, Tristan Thompson's going to need a little extra time to get himself going. It's a longer process. If it was Jason Tatum that strained a hamstring, whenever he was ready, he'd be ready. There's no acclimation process. So just set your expectations for Tristan Thompson. One other quick injury thing, Peyton Pritchard dislocated a finger on his left hand. It basically, the way Brad Stevens put it, it popped out. They popped it back in. He taped it up, and he missed the rest of practice on Saturday, but was back on the floor Sunday. And as Brad Stevens calls him, a tough little guy. And he didn't do it in Tommy Heinsohn's voice. Would have been a nice tribute, but I do hear it as a tough little guy. That would have been cool. Pritchard, dislocated finger. That happens a million times. You know, it's so common that it's fine. And it looked like it was like a pinky or a ring finger. So that's inconsequential on the offhand. It doesn't mean anything. The two big stories that came up over the weekend, really, as far as storylines, not stories. There wasn't anything big story-wise, no big development. But I asked Jaylen Brown about, hey, you know, this is a situation. You're going to have to do more. You know, like, Gordon's gone. Kemba's not here to start. Like, it's you and Tatum. Like, what are you feeling? What do you need to do? Like, how do you need to adjust? And I was looking for more on-the-court stuff, but he was saying, and I'll quote, there's definitely more responsibility on me being a leader by example, and being vocal is important. Trying to set the tone and culture for what Celtics basketball is about. It will be everything going forward. That responsibility has taken a step forward, and I couldn't be more excited about it. That's a big realization for JB. Like, he's out there. He understands that, you know, I'm in my fifth year. It's so wild to think that Jaylen Brown is in his fifth year as a Celtic. His first season, his rookie season, was the Isaiah Thomas, his last year. That insane Isaiah Thomas season. He's a rookie when all of that happened. The stuff with Isaiah Thomas, his sister, the stuff with Isaiah's hip, that phenomenal, amazing season that IT had. Like, he's a rookie. That's his rookie year. That feels like forever ago. That's like four iterations of the Boston Celtics ago. But now here he is in his fifth year, and now it's his first year making star money. And yeah, it's this weird kind of in-between. Still a young guy, but you're also a veteran, a leader. And it's such an interesting play. It's like a storm front where it's going to sweep through. It can be stormy. It can cause like rain. It can cause some issues. But, you know, on the other side, there's growth. On the other side, there's sunshine. There's something there. And Brown is going to have to grow into this person that is looked to as a leader. You know, I have to put it this way. When you look at an athlete's career, it's a, if a player is like Jaylen Brown and is lucky enough to potentially have, you would assume he's going to have like a 15-year career, it's a microcosm of life that there's three-thirds of the career. The early 5 years that he just is finishing, it's like your youth, your toddler, your early teens. And then that second phase is your late teens, your 20s, your 30s. And then, and I hate to say this because this is the stage that I'm in, the third part of your career is the 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond, to the point where that last year, that 15th year, is the year before you retire. These guys, when they see all the tributes to when they retire, it's like watching their own funerals. And Jaylen Brown has completed, he's completing the first third of his career. He's in year five now. And he's progressing into that second part of his career, which is what? When you're in your late teens, 20s, 30s, you're becoming that adult. You're becoming that person that, you know, you've got responsibilities. All of a sudden, you know, there are kids that are looking to you for some sort of advice. You have some sort of stature. It progresses so quickly. You go from crawling to walking to running in a very short order in the NBA. And now Jaylen Brown's talking about leadership, being that veteran, leading by example, being a vocal leader. Not only that, taking that step in the community, being a leader in Boston, not just for the Celtics, for a city. It's important to him. So he's entering the second third of his career. And that's not nothing. That's an important step. It's an important step for Jaylen Brown. And that leads me into what Jeff Teague said, because I asked Jeff Teague, hey, you know, you've been around, you've seen these guys from the outside, but now you're on the inside. When you're practicing with these guys, what do you notice? What is it about playing with these guys that you didn't know by playing against them? And he said, in part, I knew they were really good players. I knew that they both played really hard and they play both sides of the floor. Both are just leaders on the floor. They lead in very different ways, but I didn't know they were that close as friends, and they communicated a lot like that. They're the players that I thought they were, and I think they're both really good players, and I think they're both superstars. Now, that's high praise coming from a guy who just joined the team. And it's important, first of all, it's important to say, you know, anytime you hear that crap about, oh, these guys are going to be rivals and they're going to butt heads, like this right here, this, I didn't know that they were that close as friends, and they communicated a lot like that. That closeness, they understand that they work well together. They complement each other like two puzzle pieces. They're like yin and yang. They know that they worked well together. The leadership stuff. Jaylen Brown is, you know, a year ahead of Tatum. Tatum is the better player, but Jaylen Brown is more of a leader at this point. He's going to be the vocal one. He's going to be the one that people look to. And you know what? His community stuff, the stuff that he did in the bubble as they were going on strike and all of that stuff, that all matters. They all look to him like that. And Tatum is going to lead too, by example mostly, as he said, coming in, doing the work, showing everybody that, hey, look, I'm coming in here doing the work. You got to do it too. Because Tatum's going to be the MVP candidate if he can raise his game a little bit. That's what the Celtics are looking for Tatum to become the MVP candidate. If he can do that, the MVP candidate coming in and doing the work, doing the lift, going through the post-practice stuff, working on his game, when the young players see, like, damn, Tatum doesn't have to do this. He's already got the contract. He knows he's the number one guy. He can walk around and be like, yeah, I don't have to lift. But he does have to lift, and he knows that he should be lifting and doing all that stuff, and that's what he's going to do. Good to hear this stuff about Jaylen and Jason, especially. These guys are the future of this franchise. If these guys can't step up, if Tatum can't become that MVP candidate, if Jaylen can't become that all-star, then this is going to be a problem. That changes the entire future of what Danny Ainge does, because the next moves that he makes are dictated by whether those guys can raise their level and be those two types of players. If they can, then the next moves are supporting cast. If they can't, then they got to find that third star, and it's either Kemba, and if it can't be Kemba, then there's a lot more work to do. There's going to be a lot of that coming up throughout the season, and we'll see. But we're going to start finding out a little bit tomorrow when the games start. So when I come back, four things that I'm looking for in game one of the preseason. That's next on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Games are back this week, so stick with the Locked On Celtics podcast for your post-game podcast. I will be back after games talking about what I saw, what happened, what was good, what was bad. I'll break it all down for you after these games. So make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Now, what am I looking for? I've put four things together at the top of my list as far as what am I looking for from this team in game one. And I'm not sure that these are in order or anything, but these are four things that popped into my head as the most important things that I'm looking for in game one of a preseason game. So, number one, I want to see what kind of shots Aaron Nesmith is getting. I don't care if they fall. I'm not looking to see Aaron Nesmith make five threes. I am looking to see what is Aaron Nesmith doing to get open. What kind of ways is Aaron Nesmith getting open? What kind of ways are he using? What kind of different is he using picks? Is he flying off of screen? Is he doing like Ray Allen stuff? What are we doing here with Aaron Nesmith? I kind of don't expect him to make shots because he's a rookie and this is his first NBA game. He hasn't played forever. I have a hard time believing that he's going to hit him. So if he gets 5 3-pointers and he hits 5 or misses 5, I really don't care. Now, obviously, if he hits 5, people are going to be like, oh my God, he is an absolute sniper. I don't want to overreact one way or the other. But obviously, if he hits 5 threes, you're like, oh yes, oh yes. But it's more important to see how he's getting them. How is he creating offense? What's his role? How is he playing off of Tatum and Brown and Smart? What recognition does he have? Where is he on the floor? How is he moving without the ball? All of that stuff. All of that stuff is super important. And most important. Why is that first for me? Because the Celtics, I feel like we know what we're going to get with Tatum and Brown. Nesmith is a wild card here. If he can show that he's got the recognition, the awareness on the floor to get to open spots like we've heard that he does, then that solves not solves a big problem, but that goes a long way towards solving a big problem, because that means if he can get open shots, and he can find his way to open shots, eventually I feel like he's going to hit them, even if he doesn't hit them in game one. That's something that we can look forward to throughout the season, if he can demonstrate that ability to get himself open shots. Number two, I am curious to see how maniacal Peyton Pritchard is. I want to see it for myself at the NBA level. How much, when I read that Danny Ainge is rubbing his hands together at the ability to draft Peyton Pritchard, how much he loves Peyton Pritchard, that Peyton Pritchard has this thing about him. Danny Ainge loves instigators. Wick Grosbeck compared Danny Ainge's desire to draft Pritchard to his desire to draft Rajon Rondo. And he was clear to say it wasn't Rajon Rondo like at that level, but that's how excited Danny Ainge was. So I kind of want to see this. I kind of want to see how crazy he is. I want to see what he's got on the NBA floor. Is he going too crazy? Is it going to be like, okay, calm down, kid. Let's dial his back just a little bit. So I'm very curious to see what Pritchard has. As far as Tatum and Brown, Jason Tatum, I want to know what exactly he's working on. That's my number one thing. What exactly is he coming into this game doing? I'm not really looking at the numbers. I'm not looking at this as, hey, I want to see Jason Tatum drop 40 and 15 assists to show that he's an MVP level guy. In fact, I'm willing to bet that Jason Tatum might actually suck in this game because, and I make this comparison around the preseason every year. It's like spring training pitchers. I'm sorry if I repeat myself every year at this time, but it really is the best comparison that I can think of. Pitchers in spring training are working on pitches. And in spring training, they throw pitches to batters that they aren't normally going to throw in these certain situations. It doesn't matter that it's, you know, 3-0 and, you know, damn it, I'm working on this slider. I'm going to throw it and see if I can stop putting it in the dirt. What am I doing? So that's where Tatum is. And that's where Tatum was at the beginning of last year, working on a lot of things. So I want to see, is Tatum going to start this game just jacking shots from 35 feet away? Is that something that he is looking to do? Is he starting to expand his range? What is the thing that he's working on? That's my number one thing that I'm watching for Jason Tatum. Because once we see what he's working on, then we have a better idea of what he thinks his, you know, the needs are. And if he can get this thing to work, then what's the net effect? So knowing what he's working on is really important to me. And of course, I'm just looking to figure out what the hell is going on here. I haven't been able to watch any on-court stuff. So this is really important to me. And then Jaylen Brown, his passing. I want both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to pass more. There's a little difference between how those two guys are creating assists. Okay. I want Jason Tatum to be more of a game manipulator where he's working the defense and he's got the guy in front of him and I know I'm going to do this to get this guy to do this so I can open up a lane for this guy, my teammate, to get this open shot. Because Tatum is creating, he's initiating. Jaylen Brown's not initiating as much. I mean, will some, but Jaylen Brown is already catching the ball, generally speaking, after the initial attack has begun. So Tatum starts the play and breaks a guy down and makes a pass. If it goes well, they start to put the opponent in rotation. The defenders are starting to fly all over the place. Okay, I had to go cover because Tatum broke the guy down. And so I helped. This guy has to rotate over to where Tatum threw the pass, which means the guy who helped has to rotate to the guy who left to help my guy. And, you know, that type of stuff. So by the time Jaylen Brown catches it, chaos has already started. Jaylen has to now figure out where he fits in the chaos. And he's done a very good job of hitting shots in the chaos. Now comes the attacking more. Really put a lot of pressure. Brown does not have to have Tatum's level of manipulation. Jaylen Brown's passing ability only has to be read and react. Read and make the right pass. Because the chaos has begun. The rotation has begun. Jaylen Brown is now the closer. He's finishing. So he can decide to go in. If he's got a lane to go for a dunk, great. If he's got an open shot, great. But if in that penetration, if in that next move, he has drawn defenders, how crisp is his ability to read and make that next pass and set guys up for those assists? He's shown real improvement over that. I kind of want to see in this first game, I want to see him maybe even overpass. You know, I want to see him back to the pitcher analogy. In a game, yeah, I know you're probably going to go dunk that, or maybe you're going to rise up for a shot. In this game, maybe I kind of want to see him overpass. I kind of want to see him trying even a little too hard to make these passes. Even if he passes out of situations where he normally wouldn't pass out of. I don't care about that. Really, the result of this game is meaningless to me. The results of these plays are what mean the most to me. If the Celtics lose 100-40, and I see Nesmith getting really good looks, if I see Peyton Pritchard getting, you know, up in people's faces and really showing me, like, oh, okay, this is why Marcus Smart really wanted to see what he was all about. If Tatum shows, like, some real focus in what he's trying to accomplish, if Jaylen Brown's passing, if he's really trying to read and make those right plays, I don't care how all of those things end, as long as all of those things are happening, because all of those things happening will ultimately lead to good things. So I don't care about the final score. I care about what these guys are doing. And those are four things that I'm looking for off the top. When I come back, I'm going to talk about what it's like being a beat writer in this time, in this COVID time. It's different, and it explains why you probably see certain stories coming in time and time again. So grab yourself a Built Bar and wait for that coming up next. Built Bar, of course, is the most delicious protein bar on the market, and it's a fantastic snack if you're looking for something to indulge in. If you have like a little bit of that sweet tooth, you're like, oh God, I don't want to have a piece of chocolate, grab a Built Bar, because you're going to get yourself a nice dose of protein without a ton of calories, still get that delicious flavor from one of their 18 flavors. Plenty without nuts. If you've got a nut allergy, you can still have these. Covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. Great if you're health conscious, if you're looking to lose or maintain weight. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. That's the exact formula that you want. Like I've been telling you, peanut butter is my favorite one. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, 5 net carbs. It's a great little snack, a meal replacement, something to have after a workout at the gym. It's perfect. You can try it out right now and get 20% off with the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. It doesn't matter if you've used it before, you can use it again. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. We are days away from the start of the NBA regular season, and this week, the Locked On NBA podcast is previewing every team, division by division. Get intel on each team, waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get podcasts. Now, I had an interesting interaction on Twitter Sunday where I noticed somebody was talking about, like, my God, why are we getting so much taco stuff? Like, all of a sudden, we're hearing, like, taco, like, he's going to be a big part of what the Celtics are doing. And there was a lot of Taco Fall content on every website on Sunday, because that's who they gave us to talk to. So I keep saying that I'm a beat writer, I cover the Celtics, and you might have an idea of what that is, but I kind of want to break it down for you so you understand, because this impacts the coverage that you get. Normally, when there's a practice, I and all of my colleagues get to go to the RBAC Center. And when they let the media in, practice has just ended, and we get to see post-practice stuff. Guys are shooting. They've broken off into their groups. A couple of guys will be on, you know, there's four baskets. Actually, there's six baskets if they're shooting on the half courts. And guys are working on things. So guys are in shooting contests. There are guys who are working on individual stuff. You get to walk in. You just get to see. You get a lay of the land. You get to scan the entire floor. What's happening? Who's doing what? Who's got what color jersey on? All of that stuff. That helps guide some of the questions. Hey, I see Taco Fall out there, you know, dribbling two balls at a time. Well, what's with the ball handling stuff? You know, whatever. Like, you see, oh, Jason Tatum looks like he's been working on those floaters. What's that about? And you know, you start to like notice things. You get these stories. Now, because of COVID, we don't have that level of access. I don't get to go to the RBAC Center. I have to sit here at home and wait for guys to sit in front of a Zoom call. I've got my laptop open. I see a desk. And we're told Brad Stevens and two players. And sometimes we don't know who the two players are. Sometimes we're surprised. Like all of a sudden, Jeff Teague sits down. You're like, oh, okay. What questions do I have for Jeff Teague? And you just come up with things quickly. And look, it is what it is. I'm not complaining because a lot of people have it worse, a lot worse when it comes to COVID. So me having to adjust my workflow a little bit and not see certain things, I'll deal with it. In the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal. But as far as the coverage that you get, this is why on Sunday, all of a sudden there's a ton of Taco Fall. It's not that we as a group said, hey, what if we all did Taco Fall stories? Because we think it's going to be great. It's we got on a Zoom call and Celtics PR comes up and says, hey, guys, Brad Stevens is going to talk shortly and Taco Fall is going to be one of the players. And so I, as a reporter, say, okay, Taco Fall is my story today. He's the guy that I've got. We haven't done a Taco story yet. Let's see what we can dig up on Taco Fall. So Brad Stevens sits down and we all ask questions about Taco Fall. Talk about, you know, what's the challenges of developing a guy in this situation when you've got like 3 weeks to start a season? Like, how are you worried about like developing guys when you're more worried about cramming for the regular season? What's Taco shown you? Blah, 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 blah. That's new stuff. We haven't talked about Taco really this preseason. People love to hear about Taco. So I did a Taco Fall story. And when Taco sat down, obviously we asked him, you know, the regular battery of questions, found out that Grant Williams is the second guy. Like, hey, Grant Williams worked out with Taco this offseason. They hung out a lot. They're friends. Ask Grant about Taco. So now here I am as a beat writer. I want to give you good content. So the best content that I could give you on Sunday was, all right, I now have a story that I can flesh out. I've got Taco, I've got Grant, I've got Brad Stevens, three different people to give me quotes about Taco. Here are the quotes. Let me structure this thing. Because I don't just want to write 400 words about Kemba Walker's back on the floor and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, I've got to do that. That's my job as a beat writer to tell you the injury updates and all of that stuff. But I also would like to be able to write something somewhat creatively and tell a story. And because I don't have the access. I can't really get a ton of one-on-ones. If I were to get a one-on-one today, I wouldn't have asked for Taco Fall. But because that's who I got, it's like walking into a kitchen and somebody walks in and is like, okay, it's like Chopped. It really is like Chopped. If you've watched Chopped at all, if you know what I'm talking about, the cooking show, that cooking contest show, where you open up the basket and you go, okay, your first course today is Taco Fall, Brad Stevens, Grant Williams. You've got 20 minutes. Go. That's what it is. And sometimes you open up the basket and you're like, oh, what the hell am I going to ask Jeff Teague about right now? But he's the guy that's sitting in front of you, and you better come up with something quick. And sometimes, just to lay it all out on the line, to pull back the curtain, sometimes someone's got to get up there first and just ask a softball to at least start the conversation. So the other people, the other reporters behind you, have like an extra 3 minutes or extra minute even to say, okay, all right. You know, so like if Jeff Teague's up first, or if somebody sits down, like Carson Edwards sits down and they go, okay, questions for Carson Edwards, and there's silence, I'm going to hop on and be like, so Carson, how's it going out there? How's that shot feeling? You know, whatever. And as he's answering, I know that other people behind me are like, okay, 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 Carson, what am I going to ask? And by the end of it, hopefully we've helped each other out, because all of us asking questions and getting to something, some kind of good answer somewhere, is going to be what helps all of us out. That's life on the beat right now. That's what it's like to be a beat reporter right now in the Zoom era. We're trying real hard to give you things that are unique. It's not always easy, and it takes a lot more creativity. And as we start to hopefully get into like the opportunity to get our one-on-ones, as we start to figure out everything that's happening here, how to do our jobs, you know, in this unique circumstance, you get a little bit more unique content. But it's just a different animal. So when you see all of a sudden a surge, like you did on Sunday, of Taco Fall stories, and the Celtics are off on Monday, so we're not going to get anything from them. Tuesday's a game day. You get typical game day stuff. Wednesday, I think, might be a practice day, or Thursday, because their next game is Friday. When the next practice comes around, it's like, we'll see what we get. Luckily, this time around, we'll have a game to ask about, you know, a chance to rewatch and analyze and see and come up with a list of questions, so maybe we can get more specific. But it's different. It's different. I hope that explains a little bit about what you're seeing coverage-wise. I think if you're listening to a podcast, if you've made it to this point of nearly 40 minutes of a podcast, you're reading a lot of Celtics stuff. And when you see in your feed, man, there's a lot of stories on the same thing. That's why. So I think it'll be different. I think it'll get better. And, you know, whatever we need to do to stay safe, I'm certainly not going to pretend that my job is of any level of importance, that it requires special dispensation to break rules and recommendations. No, whenever we get back in there is when we get back in there. And, you know, once it's safe, we want to be back in there. But until then, we'll get creative. Hope you've enjoyed the show. It's been a fun one for me. I always enjoy doing these shows. It's a lot of fun to just talk to you for all of this time. Obviously, I like talking, which is great, because my job is to be a podcaster and talk in these shows 5 days a week. And I hope that you, as a new listener, said, I like this show. I'm going to subscribe right now. However you found it, wherever you get your podcast, subscribe. Regular listeners, thank you so much. Couldn't do this without your support every single day. The 5-star ratings, the good written reviews are all amazing. But most importantly, I love it when you share the podcast. Tell someone new. Every day when I welcome back a new listener, hopefully that's somebody that you've referred. So when you share the podcast, you tell them that you should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.